To all who come to this happy place, welcome.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome once again to the official Disneyland Resort podcast, a unique look at the magical moments and events here at the place where dreams come true. Join us each month as we celebrate the Year of a Million Dreams with a behind-the-scenes look at what's new and exciting here at the Disneyland Resort. And now, here is your host, Michael Gohagan.
Thanks for joining us. Today, we're going to take you from horsepower to hydropower as we cover even more of the excitement taking place here at the Disneyland Resort during the Year of a Million Dreams. In this edition of the official Disneyland Resort podcast, we'll take you on a tour of the Circle D barns and stalls with Disneyland's head horse trainer. We'll also get a behind-the-reins view of what it's like to ride down Main Street, USA behind one of these impressive animals. Then, we'll dive into the screams and laughter found at Splash Mountain, the best place to get drenched inside Disneyland Park. And finally, we'll wrap it up with some of the tricks that entertain families at the annual Mickey's Trick-or-Treat Party, all part of the fun this fall during Halloween time at Disneyland Resort. That's the sound heard on Main Street, USA all day long, as the Disneyland horses clip-clop along, pulling trolley cars full of park guests. We'll hear from one of the drivers in a moment, but first, let's step behind the scenes to find out a bit more about these four-legged cast members. Did you ever wonder what happens to these beautiful draft horses after they finish their shifts? Well, they mosey on back to the Circle D, one of the best-kept secrets at the Disneyland Resort. Now, the Circle D has been on the property since before Disneyland even opened. In fact, its barn dates back to 1954 and is one of the very first buildings that stood on the grounds that eventually became the park. We take a tour with Alan Cooper, the head horse trainer who's been doing this for 20 years. We find out all about the Circle D's new plans for a breeding program and how they prepare these special cast members for the stage. Well, now tell me, where are we right now? We're at the Circle D. What is that?
That's an area back in the back area. Been here for since before the park was ever built. And it's kind of hidden away, I guess.
And it's where all the horses and livestock are.
Yes, absolutely.
And so now you're responsible for kind of the training and upkeep. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. I take care of all the animals on it and maintain their ability to work on Main Street.
Well, now, I also understand that you can get a tour of this. Is that right?
Yes, there's a number of different tours. The cast members are offered a tour for reward and recognition through their management team. And then also Vacations by Disney offers a tour back here for the guests.
Well, now, next to this house, and I mean, it's nice back here. You got trees shading the whole thing. You've also got, now what are these? These are stagecoaches?
We have the old stagecoaches that were working in Frontierland. We have one on display that's kind of showing its age, but it is on display. That ran in Frontierland for a few years. We have another wagon that was in the Centennial Parade, and it was a band wagon. And then we have a couple prop wagons that are just sitting out here. Kind of adds to the age of our area.
You can tell it's been here a while.
Yes, definitely.
Well, let's go over here and take a look at the animals. Now, do you call them animals? Do you call them livestock? What's the right term?
I call them cast members because they work here. All of our horses have particular hours that they work. They also have time off.
Oh, so it's just like a regular cast member then?
Absolutely. They have a pretty good insurance plan, too.
And I notice you got some cats. How many animals are there here total, and what sorts of cast members, I guess, do you have?
Well, we have four different types of draft horses. We have Shires, Clydesdales, Percherons, and Belgians now. Mm-hmm. We have three little donkeys that work up at the Big Thunder Ranch Petting Zoo.
And it looks like we're walking by them right now almost.
Yes. I bought them about 3 or 4 years ago for the park just to add a little extra something for the ranch area. Uh-huh. And they all have, all of our ranch animals that work in the petting zoo have Disney names.
You got a lot of space here, actually.
Not as much as we used to, but we have a little bit carved out.
Well, now over here on the right, you've got a kind of an open area with some barrels and things. What happens there?
That's where I work on a regular basis to desensitize the horses to different stimulus that they would see on Main Street. We put trash cans and balloons and loud noises and set up obstacle courses with all kinds of colors and flashy little banners. And we try to expose them to anything that they might come in contact with on our Main Street.
Well, now that's interesting. So, I mean, you have to train, or you called it desensitize the horses to popping balloons and screaming kids and excited people.
Absolutely, all the time. The biggest thing that they have to get used to is all the stress they might see out on Main Street. It's not their job. Their job's easy. Walking with a streetcar up and down Main Street, that's the easy part. It's all the people they come in contact with.
Well, let's walk back over here. I noticed you've got one horse here that's kind of enjoying the sun.
Danny's a 3-year-old Clydesdale, and yes, he is enjoying himself immensely in the sun. He's laying on his side, sunning himself.
getting a suntan. Now, you mentioned that, I think you said there are 4 kinds of horses. Well, obviously, they're different. I mean, do they all do the same thing, or do you pick each kind of breed for a different purpose?
Well, that's a very good question. We have expanded quite a bit on the different breeds and the types of horses we have. We're trying to provide entertainment and special events coordinators a choice in what they can have, different colors, different shapes, and different sizes, so that we don't have just the generic large horse that would pull the trolley on Main Street. We have spotted draft horses, we have shires, and we have Clydesdales.
Well, and I notice, I don't know much about horses, but this seems bigger than the average horse, to me at least.
They are a little bit bigger. I don't notice that any longer. I've been here a few years, so it seems very natural to me that they're so big.
Well, now, what's the training process? When do you get a horse?
We just changed that whole process a little bit. We're trying to get our horses earlier because the golden years for training is a young animal, and it makes more sense to spend the time and money on an animal that will be easier to train than to try to get an older horse that's already set in its ways to fit in our program.
Right. And how long is the process? I mean, if you were to get a horse, and I assume you keep it for a while before you start training it, how long does that process take? I mean, if we were to start training today, when is that horse ready?
The horse gets a learning plan. It's just like maybe a year or so. It depends on the horse. Each horse is different. Each horse has different needs, different sensitivities. So it really depends on the animal.
But generally speaking, about a year, is that about right?
If the horse comes to me at 3 years old, about a year to 3 months, anywhere from a year to 3 months, we'll get him out on Main Street.
Now, you mentioned that you're starting to change what you do. I understand you're going to start to breed some of the horses. Is that right?
Absolutely. Baby horses steal the cast members' hearts that work around them and also all the guests in the park. And if we can showcase a few babies every once in a while, I think that we'll get the word out that we're still here and we're still running strong. The other thing is again, it goes along with buying younger horses and training. If I have younger horses to work with, I have a horse that will work for a lot longer.
Now, you mentioned you call them cast members. I mean, do they have name tags?
Absolutely. On the streetcars, we put name tags on there so the guests can see what the horse's name is. We introduce them as cast members. Like I said a little bit earlier, they have scheduled hours, and we're very strict on those hours. We don't go over. We might go under a little bit on a hot day, but we don't go over those hours, and that's it. They're done. We'll bring out another horse.
Well, so how long would a horse work on a given day?
We work our horses 3 hours. 3 days a week, and then they get 2 days off.
That's a pretty good job.
Yeah.
I'd like those hours.
Everybody says the same thing.
Well, now, how many horses are there here?
Right now, I believe we have about 30 horses in all different levels of training. Some are ready to go to Main Street next week, and some are waiting to grow up. I have 2 baby Clydesdales that are 6 months old.
Well, I have to admit, I've walked by this area a lot, and I figured there was 5 or 6 horses back here. I had no idea it was this big and this many horses.
It takes a lot of horses to stick to a business plan that only allows them to work so much.
Sure.
And by doing that business plan that way, we preserve their legs and the integrity of the horse. We don't overuse them to the point where they might get hurt.
Now, what happens when a cast member retires?
Or do they retire?
Yes, they do quite often. We have two types of programs. We do sell our horses on the open market, and we look for the value in that horse because of all the training that they go through here. We also offer them to our own cast members. They can file a form here at Disneyland that we would contact them and offer them at the time that they're going to retire.
Kind of apply for one of the horses, so to speak.
Absolutely. Then we go out, we check where the cast member is going to keep the animal. We make sure that the animal is going to have all the needs that it had here at Disneyland and that it's going to be well cared for. We also retain some of the rights so that we can buy back the animal in case they ever hit some hardship.
Now, we're going to go out here on Main Street in a little bit, but do the horses generally pull one of the carriages by themselves, or are they teamed up? How does that work?
They pull the streetcar all by themselves. It's not a hard job, believe me. If you look
at Have you ever tried to pull one?
I have, actually. And it is not a hard job. I've pushed and pulled the streetcar around completely loaded just to see how heavy it is. But if you look at any one of our horses, they don't look like they're lacking in any of their tummy size or anything else. Or strength. They're pretty strong animals.
Well, now, do you, I have to imagine, I mean, do you kind of become attached to the animals?
I do get attached. I am fairly professional and try to remove myself a little bit. But over the years, I have come very attached to a few of them.
What horse has been here the longest?
Right now, our program, they spend about 5 to 8 years here. Okay. And then they're looked at either to be sold or donated to a cast member.
Now, I imagine, obviously, we've got some people listening that are like, well, of course that's how it works. But, you know, for folks that don't know much about horses, what's the average lifespan of one of these types of horses?
A draft horse in this position living at Disneyland will live for 20, 25, 28 years. I know of one of our animals that retired from here, and he was 20, and he went on to live for another 8 years with a family.
Well, now, let's walk back this way. What other sorts of animals? Now, we talked a little bit about you've got the donkeys, you've got the horses. What other sorts of animals are you responsible for?
We're responsible for the goats that go up to Big Thunder Ranch. We have around 20 goats that go up to play at the ranch for the kids to pet and to interact. We're also responsible for any animals that come in the park for shows, events, or other things, just like if we put something on stage or do a special event for Aladdin or something else. We'll always tack a cast member along, even if we don't own the animal.
Well, let me ask you, I mean, when you're kind of talking with friends, what's kind of the, you know, cocktail party conversation or when you're just chatting with friends, what are some of the neat things about this area that folks don't know?
Just about everything. My friends always ask me where I work, and I tell them I work at Disneyland, and we start talking, and they find out that I work with the horses. And the common denominator is they have horses at Disneyland, and they don't realize they walk by them almost all the time on Main Street.
Well, this is one of those kind of things that everybody experiences. You walk into the park, you see the animals, but it's one of those things that you don't always know kind of the story behind the story, what's really going on.
There's a lot going on back here on a regular basis. We have a cast member coming in at 5 a.m. to start feeding the horses, and we stay until 10:30 or 11 o'clock at night. Our cast members work all day long, regardless of whether it's raining or there's high winds or anything else. They pick up, clean, care for the animals the whole time.
Well, you can't really take a day off from the horses, so to speak. I mean, every day somebody's got to be here.
Absolutely. Every day somebody is here to take care of them, and then I think we do a pretty good job at it, too.
Well, now, Alan, we've seen the outside portion, but there's also an inside portion. Is that right?
Yes. The horses work on a regular basis, and we provide them inside nice, cushy little stalls. The barn facility, the horses spend 4 days in, 1 day prior to work, and the 3 days of work.
So this is kind of, I mean, it looks like almost like a grooming section over here.
Right. The front aisle of the barn is put together so that we do the majority of the grooming and harnessing. We also have a really neat little board in here that describes and tells us where all the horses are so that at any point I could tell a cast member to go get a horse. They could come look at the stall where the horse is, like Chief. He's in R out here. They could go find it. And we move those around during the day so that we can always find the horses.
And they're the same name tags that you see cast members wearing, just like you said earlier.
Yeah, the horses are cast members. So, and a lot of the names that are given to the horses, some of them are given by the registry or the original owner. Some of the horses we rename so that the name is a little nicer on stage. Mm-hmm. But most of them come with their own names.
And I noticed you've even got their city of origin on some of them.
Yes. We started doing that because the cast members have the city of their hometown on there. So we might as well do that for the horses, too.
Well, now, what else takes place in here?
Well, just about the rest of the operation. We have in here a grain room where we take care of all the grain for the horses and feed them. We feed four different types of hay. We have alfalfa. We have grass hay, we have orchard, and we have oat hay. Each part of their needs nutritionally is met by a veterinary person who comes on and talks to us.
Now, I noticed in the bottom of some of these, you've got kind of like a gravel bottom, and some of them, it looks like shavings from wood?
I neglected to tell you this is a brand new barn. They just finished it about a week and a half ago. We put sand down on the floor on top of the asphalt so that as the horses walk around, they don't destroy the floor. They spent a lot of money back here to fix this up for us, and we figured we better keep it nice for a little bit. So some of the stalls you'll see have like black mats in it, and we haven't used those stalls yet. Those are the rubber mats that they sleep on. On top of those black mats, we put shavings that makes it nice and comfortable.
Now, I noticed you've got kind of like a water system for the horses to drink, both inside and outside?
Yeah, so there's an automatic water system that the horses learn to push a little lever, and it fills up a dish for them, and they just drink out of it. It's kind of funny the first couple times you see a horse do it, because I'm really surprised when the water squirts around their nose.
And I know some of them have like a salt lick or something?
Yeah, the salt lick we provide just because for some of the horses, they need a little extra salt. A lot of the hays don't have a lot of minerals in it. So it's a little extra luxury we can provide for them.
Now, you mentioned this is a new facility, but I imagine the barn's been here for a while. I mean, these stables are state-of-the-art, it looks like. But the building looks like it's been here a while.
The building is the same shell that's been here since, well, before the park opened. Somewhere I've seen pictures of this area with a whole bunch of orange fields and these buildings here. Historically, we've kept it intact and built up around it, or inside it, I guess. And three times we've done the inside, and I think this last time's the best.
Well, I got to tell you, if I'm a horse, this seems like the place to be.
Yeah, I have a lot of cast members who'd like to move in and live in one of the stalls, too.
Well, I noticed you've got some horses over here. Can we meet them?
Sure. These horses are getting ready for Main Street. This will be the second shift this morning. We open with the park, and our second shift, we move up to two horses to work out on Main Street. Looks like we have Scott and Caleb getting ready for Main Street. They're two Belgian horses. They're pretty big. Scott's our biggest horse on the property at the moment.
Now, for somebody listening, I mean, do you know how much this horse weighs? I mean, this is a big horse.
I can always guess. I don't know exactly. I don't have a scale here. But he's probably about 2,400 pounds. He stands a little over 18 hands at his shoulder.
And that means what?
18 hands is a unit of measurement of 4 inches.
Okay.
So each hand is 4 inches. So he's a big guy. That's what it means.
And how long has he been here?
Scott's been here approximately 5-6 years. He's not due for retirement for another 2.5 or 3 years.
And they're harnessing him up. What's he going to go do?
Well, interesting, you ask about his harness. Each one of our horses, when they get here, are fitted and own a pair of harnesses. And that harness will live with them throughout their career here. We don't change it. We'll adjust it. We'll make it larger or smaller as they grow, but it's their harness. And sometimes we'll even sell that horse with its harness because it fits so well.
Now, I notice you've got another cast member working on Scott here. Mm-hmm. So what's the preparation process? It looks like he's got a braid and all kinds of stuff.
They come in, the girls like to braid their little forelocks so that it doesn't get in their eyes when they're working on Main Street. They'll groom them for about an hour before they go out to Main Street.
An hour?
Yes.
Wow.
It takes a little bit of time to pick through their feet and groom them. Remember, we're going out and some guests are going to see these horses for the very first time. So we want to make sure that that experience is exactly that, perfect.
No, you bring up something interesting. I mean, if I'm a person on Main Street, I assume, do some of them come up and try to pet the horses? I mean, what's kind of the rules of the road when it comes to that?
we always ask, the rules of the road are kind of generic. You always ask first because you never know. And a lot of people will approach the horses from the shoulder, and that's correct. Don't ever walk up to a horse's mouth because that's the business end. And we ask everybody to approach the shoulder and pet them on the shoulder so we can keep an eye on their toes and their fingers, and they leave intact.
Well, I mean, that's got to be kind of a special treat, too, because you're right. You have some park guests, and this is the first time they've ever seen a horse or been next to one.
Absolutely. And then we have annual pass holders with little kids that will come in for the first time and then spend the next 3 or 4 years coming back and visiting us on a regular basis every single week.
Well, that's right. You've got some folks that kind of follow along with the story of the horses.
Absolutely. They get their favorites, and they send us pictures and everything else.
Now, what horse is this over here? There's another one here right next to Scott.
And he's also a Belgian. He's been here the same amount of time as Scott. He's been here for about 5 years. Caleb, I don't know, he's just a cute little man.
You call him a cute little man. He looks like an awfully big horse, a cute big horse.
Again, I've worked around these horses for so long that none of these horses are large to me. And I look at a regular horse, it seems like a little pony.
Well, now I noticed, are they going to get suited up for the same kind of duty out in the park? Or because Caleb here has a lot more gear on right now, whereas Scott's got just kind of the harness around the neck at the moment.
Yeah, Scott's got a collar on, and that's the beginning part of harnessing them up. Caleb is almost finished. The only thing he's lacking is his bridle. This is the way they look when they work out on Main Street in the little farm outfit. And this is actually working harness. You know, if I wanted to go pull a plow, I could hook up a plow to this harness and do the same job.
Now, I also hear some birds in the background. You have birds here as well?
Absolutely. In the past couple years, we've been able to display a couple different birds in the park. We just got a new one, and we have an older one that's been here for a while.
And it sounds like this one likes to sing.
Yeah, absolutely. They are parrots, and parrots are very boisterous, and they're very noisy. And that's part of the show. We have Zoe at the top of the boathouse at the Jungle Cruise, and she spends time in a little cage talking to the guests and squawking when they go by, and then she sometimes hides for a couple hours and comes back out. And it's one of those little treats that Disney is able to provide that you might walk by for 5 years and never notice, and then all of a sudden say, wow, that's cool.
Well, perfect. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today.
Sure. You're welcome.
Next, we meet up with Maria Betrez, who shares her experience behind the reins on Main Street, USA.
Well, I'm joined now by Maria. Maria, what is it you do here at the Disneyland Resort?
I currently drive the horse-drawn streetcars out here on Main Street, USA.
Now, Maria, where are we right now?
Right now, we are in the middle of Main Street, going down towards Town Square. It's a one-way trip from the castle.
And our engine today?
His name is Scott. He is a Belgian draft horse.
Now, what do you like most about the horse-drawn streetcars here?
Mostly just the challenge of driving them out here, because it's such a busy area. It's a challenge to drive them because you have a live animal out here. But it's amazing to see the reaction on the guests' faces because they see such a large animal in a very crowded area, but they're so calm and collected in their area out here.
Well, now, and we just passed another one, huh?
Yes, that was Caleb. He's a Belgian draft horse. The driver is Katie Hart. And the conductor we have out here today is Trista Berkey. Katie is also a driver out here on Main Street and has been working about the same time I have.
Well, now, what do you think? I mean, people come here to Disneyland and, you know, there's roller coasters and all kinds of fun attractions. And then you've got these horses. I mean, this is kind of really special if you think about it.
Yes, it is. It's actually very, very special because, like I said, it's an alive animal and you don't expect to see these vehicles still out except for areas like San Francisco.
Well, now, for a lot of people, is this the first time they've seen a horse?
Yes, actually it is, especially a large one like Scott here. Scott is one of our tallest horses, and when they see him, they most of the reactions I get, it's like, wow, that is a big horse. Clear the tracks, please, folks. Clear the tracks, please. Clear the tracks, please. Right behind you. Right behind you, folks. Thank you.
And it sounds like a big part of your job is, yeah. is getting people out of the way of the horse sometimes.
Yes, it is. That's actually one of the biggest challenges out here is just having the patience and also the timing just right just to get the guests clear of the tracks. Safety is our number one concern out here. And like backstage, you probably talk with Alan about the training of balloons and other things that they need to get used to, like the band, you know, wheelchairs, even little kids.
Well, it looks like we're just about to finish up, so thanks so much for chatting with us.
Oh, thank you.
The zippy music at Splash Mountain promises plenty of sunshine headed your way. But there's a big surprise at the end of this backwoods bayou. A 5-story plunge into the pond at Brer Rabbit's Briar Patch. That thrill makes Splash Mountain one of the most popular attractions here at the Disneyland Resort. The floodgates of Splash Mountain opened in the summer of 1989, a birthday gift for Disneyland. Nearly 20 years later, it's still one of the best places in the park to cool off. Now you might get soaked, but you'll have a lot of laughs along the way. Dave Russell and Alexis Zavala, two cast members who work as leads on the popular attraction, tell us the storyline behind Splash Mountain and why guests keep making a beeline for Critter Country to ride.
It was great. It feels good. It's really hot out.
Well, I'm joined now by Dave and Alexis. And what is it you guys do here at the Disneyland Resort?
Well, we're both working leads here at Splash Mountain. We basically oversee the daily operations for this attraction.
Our goal is just to make sure that our guests have the optimal guest experience and just to, you know, and make sure you have fun and get through the line as quickly as you can so you can experience as many rides as you can here at Disneyland.
Well, now, Dave, tell me, where are we right now?
We are currently standing on the balcony that is overlooking our station at Splash Mountain. This is where our cast members can stand and watch the logs go through the station. We can observe our guests getting in and out of the logs and see how we are doing for the day with our loading and our unloading.
And obviously, I mean, it's a beautiful summer day. I mean, this has got to be a popular attraction today.
Oh, definitely. It could be a really slow day at Disneyland, but if the sun's out, everyone's going to be at Splash Mountain. And you could stand here and watch everyone come out nice and drenched and be really excited and just be really happy to be wet.
Well, tell me a little bit about the attraction. I notice you've got everybody here kind of loading into these logs. What can you tell me about those?
These are our vehicles that send you through the bayou, the Briar Patch area of Splash Mountain. Basically, they're 7-seater logs. They sit you in individual seats, except in the back seat, we do have the option of side-by-side sitting, which is for a parent to sit next to their small child. So that way, if there's an adult that really doesn't feel comfortable not having their child sit by themselves, we have that option for them so they can sit next to each other.
Well, now these logs, I guess you call them logs, these logs look pretty fancy. I mean, you know, they almost look brand new.
They are. I'd say they're about 4 years old. These are what we would call our Generation 4 logs. This is actually the fourth generation of logs we've had here at Splash Mountain, the third generation that we've actually used with guests.
So what's special about these logs?
What's special about these logs is, as I said, is they can sit up to 7 people. Our original logs used to have bench seating where you're able to sit about 14 people in a log at the maximum. You can sit in your laps. But we changed that to individual seating, and they modified that to our Generation 3 logs. What's great about these logs is it's still individual seats, but we have that great side-by-side seat in the back so the parent can sit next to their child, so that way everyone can enjoy this attraction without having to worry about their child's safety.
Well, now, you mentioned a briar patch. What's the story behind Splash Mountain?
Splash Mountain's a really interesting attraction. It has a lot of fun and theme about it. Everyone's excited to ride, but not everyone knows the story. It's actually based on a movie called Song of the South. It was released in 1946. And it's no longer released, so people don't know it, but we have a bunch of characters. We have Brer Rabbit, Brer Fox, and Brer Bear. And so, you know, you go through the line and you're really excited to get on. You know, it's a long line, you're anticipating it. It has little snippets of a story, and you go on and you watch these characters. You know, you see where they live. You could see, you know, the little carrots sticking out, and you see them chasing each other. And you kind of get a feel for what's going on, and it's just a really fun atmosphere with all the animals singing and music.
Yeah, basically, the story is about how Brer Rabbit wants to move away from home. He's not happy with his life in the Briar Patch, and he wants to go out to bigger and better things. And while he's out there, Brer Fox and Brer Bear are trying to catch him. They want to eat him for dinner. So basically, the whole story of the ride is Brer Rabbit outsmarting Brer Fox and Brer Bear the whole time. It ends with the grand finale where he's tied up at the top of the lift hill and he says, "Well, you can eat me if you want, Brer Fox, but just don't throw me down in that briar patch because that will hurt." And he outsmarts him, and Brer Fox is like, "You know what? I'm going to throw you down there." And it actually is his home. And that's where we come to the grand finale of the attraction, where everyone's happy that Brer Rabbit outsmarted them, and he's home safe and sound, and he never wants to move. He's happy with what he got.
Well, as usual, I mean, this is an attraction with that great Disney storytelling, but there's also a thrill aspect to it. What can you tell me? I mean, how fast does this go?
Well, it is technically the fastest ride in Disneyland. Not the whole time while you're on the ride, but when you do go down our final drop, it is about a 40-mile-an-hour drop, which is faster than Space Mountain, so you do get some good speed there. Going about a 45-degree angle. As I said, most parents do get a little worried about their kids sitting by themselves in their own seat, but this ride's been here for 19 years, and I think Gravity's doing a great job keeping them in their logs.
Well, now, how long does it take to go on the whole attraction?
It's about 8 minutes, a little more or less. Obviously, it's going to change every trip time depending on what's going on. Sometimes you're going to go a little slower, a little faster, depending on, you know, how the water is. And so it's about that time.
Now, Dave, as we were walking up here, you actually made an interesting comment. The attraction's a little bit faster with these Generation 4 logs.
Yes, it's a little bit faster because these logs that we have designed with the side-by-side seats in the back are a little bit back-heavy. And because they're so back-heavy, they were getting stuck throughout the ride, so what they had to do is they had to speed up the water pumps just a bit to push them through those areas. So it's about an 8-minute ride now. It used to be about a 9-minute ride, but now it's about 8 minutes. Still a long ride, still enjoyable.
Well, now, obviously, one of the things that people know about Splash Mountain just from the name, you're going to get wet, or at least there's a chance you're going to get wet. I mean, is there a secret? If I want to get wet, if it's a hot day, where do I sit, or where do I ask to be seated?
You want to sit in the front seat. That is where you are going to get drenched head to toe. Sometimes the second seat, but the front is where you want to sit if you want to get wet. That is the optimal water seat.
Now, if I'm riding with somebody that wants to try to stay dry, is that even possible?
Not really. Most people think towards the back, but I've sat in the back plenty of times, and my legs have been completely soaked, so there's really no escaping the water. You might be lucky if your log, you know, hit the water a certain way. You might not get a splash, but you're going to get wet.
And then obviously, I mean, you know, is there more than one, for somebody that's never ridden the attraction, is there more than one kind of splash drop?
Yes, we actually have about 5 of them on our attraction. They range from different sizes. Our first one's about a medium size. Our second one's really, really small. It's about 5 feet. Then our third one's what we call our dip drop. It's the roller coaster drop, as people like to call it. You go down about 20 feet, you come back up about 15 feet, and you even out. And then you have another small drop after that, and it ends with the grand finale, which is the fifth drop, which is right down into the briar patch.
Is there anything about this attraction that you think is kind of that interesting little bit of information that the average park guest doesn't know?
I really like the end when you actually go down the last drop. As much as it used to scare me, it's a lot of fun, and it's so high up. But it's supposed to give you the feeling that you're actually going underneath the briar patch, and so it's just really neat. It's not necessarily that way, but you have the mound there, and you see all the water, and so you don't know what's really going on. So it's just a fun little thing they added.
What about you, Dave?
There's a lot of cool hidden things on this ride. One thing that most of our guests can't see is right when you're going down the drop, there's a sign to your right that says "Drop in again sometime." It's really hidden, but it's a cool little sign.
Now, I'm going to ask a question that I'm guessing the average person might be a little too embarrassed to ask, but what's a briar patch?
The briar patch is Brer Rabbit's home. It's basically briar. Briar is a bunch of bramble that intertwines itself. It's got sharp thorns on it, and pretty much it's where Brer Rabbit lives, and no one can get into it because he knows the way around the briar patch, so he knows how to get through all the brambles and everything, but Brer Fox and Brer Bear and all the other Brers, they don't know how to get in there, so it's basically his home away from home. It's his safety net.
Well, now, you mentioned that there's a big splash. Can we go out and take a look at where that happens?
Oh, of course. Let's go take a look.
Now, Dave, we're outside now, yes. And as people can probably hear, we've got people screaming behind us. Tell me a little bit about what we see behind us here.
Well, currently we are standing around the entrance of Critter Country, where Splash Mountain is located. There's a sign right next to us. But if you look straight ahead, you see the drop to Splash Mountain. These guests are about to plummet about 5.5 stories straight into the water and get totally drenched.
And from the screams, you can tell they're pretty excited about it.
Oh, yeah. It's an exciting drop. I mean, 5.5 stories straight into water.
And this is also where the Big Splash in Splash Mountain is?
This is where the Big Splash in Splash Mountain is.
Now, also, I noticed there's a flashbulb going off at the top there. What's going on with that?
That is where we take your family's portrait as you're going down the drop. It's a very popular feature here. We get a lot of families, especially during Christmas, that will come down. They'll dress up for the holidays, and they'll take their family portrait as they're going down there, that drop.
Well, I cannot thank you enough. I mean, this has just been fascinating. This is one of those attractions that everybody sees. You've been on, but, you know, oftentimes, as we found out today, there's a lot of kind of story and information behind it.
Yeah, there's a lot of story and information about it. I mean, this ride has so much history. I mean, it's been here for 19 years. It actually opened on Disneyland's birthday, July 17th, 1989. So it will be 20 next year, which we're looking really forward to, because it'll be a great anniversary for this attraction. And still going strong.
Well, thanks again.
You're very welcome.
And what do park guests have to say about the waterborne thrills at Splash Mountain?
What a wild ride. That was awesome.
I liked it.
I got pretty wet, and my son down this way is soaking.
It was awesome.
Oh, that's perfect. It was cool.
I love it. I love to see all these guys getting soaked.
Oh, the attraction was obviously ravishing.
I
had so
I loved it.
So on a hot day like this, is this the right attraction to be riding?
Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely, yes.
Finally, do you know what's spooky and fun at the same time? Halloween time at the Disneyland Resort, which is just around the corner. And one of the highlights for families, Mickey's Trick or Treat Party. This one-of-a-kind special ticket party lets little ones laugh and play with some of their favorite Disney characters and ride selected attractions all as they trick-or-treat their way through Disney's California Adventure. The experience includes interactive games, tons of spirited music, and a nightly character cavalcade. It's an unforgettable evening for families and all part of the fun this fall during Halloween time at the Disneyland Resort. To tell us more, we catch up with Carla Carlisle.
Hi, I'm a show director with Entertainment Creative Development.
And today we're going to talk about a special event.
Yes, we're going to talk about Mickey's Trick or Treat Party.
This is something that many folks might not know about. Tell me about it.
Well, Mickey's Trick or Treat Party is a hard ticket, special price, private party, and you can pre-purchase tickets right now. They're on sale. And it's geared toward the entire family and the little set where we can all dress up in costumes and trick-or-treat with 25 different treat stations. You can dress in costumes together as a family, and everyone roams the park as a scavenger amongst your favorite Disney characters.
So this is an opportunity for the entire family to come in costume.
That's correct. This is the only time the entire family, that's mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, all the kids can dress up together in costume, whatever they want to dress up into, but nothing, no scary faces or anything, and have fun for 4 hours at Disney's California Adventure.
Okay, so if I come to an event like this, kind of walk me through what I can expect.
So when you come through the gate with your special ticket, you'll receive a trick-or-treat bag, and in that bag is a map that shows you all the locations that you go to for your treats. And they're spread out throughout the park, and you take your bag and you go up to all these trick-or-treat stops, and you can receive candy, really different kinds of candy. Also, you will receive healthy treats, apples, carrots, raisins, so you have a choice, or you can take both. You fill your bag up, and you have lots of fun, and you see lots of characters.
Now, how long has this been going on?
This is our fourth year. I created the show 3 years ago, and we're in our fourth year. And this used to be known as Mickey's Halloween Treat, and now it's changed, the name has been changed to Mickey's Trick or Treat Party. We're looking forward to it. We've got an exciting event this year, and we hope to see everyone out there.
Well, now, having seen this in years past, what are some of the interesting or unique costumes you've seen families come in?
I think some of my favorites, of course, are some of the Disney characters. You'll see the entire family dressed like the Incredibles, so it's adorable. Or you'll see the entire family dressed like the mother's Snow White and the father's the prince, and all the kids are the dwarves. Or people come in their unique costumes, like someone was a boat, so they had a, kind of a boat strapped around their body, and then there was a ketchup and a mustard and a mayonnaise group, and it is amazing the creativity some of the families have.
Well, obviously, you know, this provides a safe environment for trick-or-treating. But beyond that, is there some family activities to take part in?
Well, number one, the entire park is open, so it's like a typical day at the park. You can ride all the rides, all the attractions are open, except there's three other stages. We have three stages. Everything's decorated out for Halloween, and we have great lighting and effects, and we have a stage called Candy Corn Acres and a stage area called Hollywood Batlot Bash, and then we have a stage called the Pirate Wharf, and all three of those are stages where we have DJs and music and activities and performers and characters all having fun dancing and doing lots of fun games.
Sounds like a lot of photo opportunities.
That's right. There are seven photo opportunities where you can take your picture with your favorite Disney character. And this is through our Disney's Photo Pass. And then at the end of the night, you can go and purchase one of your favorite photos with your characters in your costumes as a family.
Now, I understand there's kind of a special event at the very end of the evening.
That's right. We have, for the second time, we have Mickey's Trick-or-Treat on the Street Cavalcade. And that kind of buttons up the entire night where all the families come on to the parade route. And we have three show stops, and it starts from a Paradise Pier and exit out the Sun Hub. And we have three times you can stop, and all of our little kids are invited up onto the street. They're going to dance with the characters and performers. They receive special prizes, obviously, when we're done here. There's a lot of effects and lighting, and it's a lot of fun for the whole family to kind of end their Halloween night.
So if I want to find out more, how do I do that?
Well, you need to go on our Disney's website, disney.com, and you'll find out all the information about the ticket prices. There's different prices based on what night you've come. There are 11 nights. It's best to purchase ahead of time because that's your best price. And you can print out your ticket right off online, or you can go actually to the main gate and purchase tickets out at main gate.
Sounds like a lot of fun, and thank you very much for taking the time to chat with us.
We look forward to seeing everyone out there. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Now remember, to find out more about these special 11 nights this coming October for the annual Mickey's Trick or Treat Party, be sure to visit Disneyland.com. Well, that'll just about do it for this edition. If you enjoyed the show, please feel free to share it with a friend. And remember, we have both audio and video podcasts available at Disneyland.com/podcast or in the iTunes podcast directory, where we also always appreciate feedback. While you're there, be sure to check out the newest video podcast. Until next time, I'm your host, Michael Gohagan. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to the Disneyland Resort Podcast. And don't forget to join us next month as we continue to celebrate the power of dreams during Disney's Year of a Million Dreams.